This is Mojo for Running, podcast number 116, applying the Goldilocks principle to hydrating on your long runs. Welcome to the Mojo for Running podcast. I'm the coach, Debbie Voiles, and this is the podcast for middle-of-the-packers, regular people not afraid to work up a sweat, who embrace the outdoors and that wonderful feeling of endorphins surging through their veins. My goal is to provide the information you need to achieve your goals. When you have a long run on your schedule, or when you do a marathon, what is your hydration plan? This episode is about hydrating on long runs. I call it the Goldilocks principle of hydration because the key is not just to be sure to drink enough, but to be equally vigilant in avoiding drinking too much, which is actually more dangerous. You want to consume the quantity of fluids that is just right. That's why I call it the Goldilocks principle. But first, I have something pretty weird to explain. This episode was really supposed to be episode number 67. In episode number 66, I discussed the various options for hydration systems, i.e. how to carry your hydration on long runs, the various options for carrying water and other fluids, like in a hydration pack or a waste pack or using a handheld water bottle. Then I recorded an episode about how to hydrate properly, titled The Goldilocks Principle of Hydration. That was at least a year ago. And to my knowledge, that episode was up on the site and on iTunes and had been there all along. But lo and behold, a couple of weeks ago, Dawn Ose Marshall emailed me to say that she was trying to listen to the hydration episode, which was number 67. But in fact, the episode that played when she clicked on 67 was 66, Hydration Systems. This blew my mind because it means I accidentally uploaded number 66 twice in a row and never uploaded 67. And even odder, no one ever mentioned to me that this was the case. This is hard for me to fathom, but there it is. I, of course, went back and looked for the recording of number 67, but sadly, it's nowhere to be found. I suspect somehow I accidentally saved number 66 over 67. I've now pulled my hair out, but unfortunately, that didn't fix anything. My solution, since I think this is a hugely important episode, is to just do it again, here and now. This episode is that episode, but I did change the title a little because otherwise Google would penalize me for having two posts with the same name. And I did take this opportunity to update the information as well. Thanks, Dawn Ose Marshall, for bringing this to my attention, or I probably never would have known. One more thing before we get to the topic. I got a bit behind on responding to emails around the time I went to Utah. Then when I went to catch up on those emails, I discovered that I couldn't respond to any of them because when they came in from the contact form on the Mojo for Running website, everything was in there except the email address of the person sending it. The rest of the message was complete, but no email address. Now, this was over about a 10-day period. Several people had emailed me to ask me to put their name on the waiting list for the coaching program, which is temporarily closed because it's full. I would like to have emailed them back and tell them I have their name on the list, but alas, obviously that was impossible. So, if you email me for any reason during that period of time, and or if you probably don't know exactly what period of time that is, but if you have emailed me and I didn't get back to you, please email me again because everything is working in the contact form now. Now I'll share this one other detail because I just think it's funny. When I went back into the back end of the website to try to figure out why it was leaving off the email addresses that people were, in fact, entering, there was a red error message that said, "Your stoken has expired." Yeah, stoken, STOKEN. Ha! You can't make this stuff up. I did Google the error message, and it is a real thing. There is such a thing as a stoken. The explanation was gobbledygook to me, though, so I got my guru to work on it, and she was able to fix it. Now, on to the Goldilocks principle of hydration. Few elements of running, especially of distance running, are more critical than proper hydration. Think about it. If you don't hydrate properly, at best, you'll just feel thirsty. At worst, it'll kill you. And that's not an exaggeration. As regards hydration, though, if you're running 90 minutes or less, you probably are just fine without changing from what you would normally do during the day, running or not, which I hope is to respond to what your body tells you by drinking when you're thirsty. When you're out there for less than 4 hours, then hydration is probably more of a concern. But if you're out there running for over 4 hours, then you need to be aware of the threat of overhydration because it's very real and it's more dangerous than dehydration. Drink to thirst is the best, most reliable advice. Thirst is your body's mechanism for keeping you hydrated. That's the advice I follow, but don't do it because I do it or because I recommend it. I'm really not the expert. In this podcast, I will share with you the advice of the people most credentialed, most highly respected in the field, and I'll tell you where to go to read their original works, to find the studies, the research, and I'll link to it all in the show notes. Historically, in the early days of the running boom, that was like in the 70s, there was almost no emphasis on hydration. Then, sports drink companies produced research that either frightened people or gave them the inaccurate impression that electrolyte beverages were the secret, the be-all and end-all to improving athletic performance, and the mantra then became, drink as much as you can, which later changed to, drink before you feel thirsty, or drink ahead of thirst. That's all changed now. I think most people now realize that the whole push to drink more, the advice that caused some people to walk around with a water bottle all day, was bad advice. The whole obsession with hydrating was started by the sports drink and or bottled water companies. Even at the gym, I see people carrying around water bottles, even though they'll finish their workout in about an hour or less. The good thing, though, is that they're not likely to get themselves into a dangerous situation. It probably doesn't hurt anything to be drinking extra, but a marathon is a different situation. You know, for the people at the gym, if they overdrink for an hour, what's going to happen? But in a marathon, you could be out there many hours. Consuming extra fluids for hours on end in a marathon is dangerous. But let's start at the beginning. If you're running 90 minutes or less, then you don't need to drink any more than you otherwise would drink during the day. If you just drink if you're thirsty, like you would all day long, you'll be fine. If you're running longer than that, then you need to be sure you consume enough fluids to stay hydrated, and you'll know what you need based on what you've learned about your body, what your body needs. If you're getting your nutrition elsewhere, then you can just drink water. But if you're not, then you may want to consume an electrolyte beverage. Which one? Well, I suggest trying the different ones. The same with nutrition, but that's a different topic. As you train, you'll learn what works best for you. That's part of training. As you gradually work up to longer runs, you'll constantly have the opportunity to test what you need under various conditions. This is important. This is one reason to keep a detailed journal. What you drink, when, and how much should always be recorded. But there's more. You also must record the weather conditions and even how you felt. If you had a cold and were on cold medications, write that down. If you take medications, prescriptions, this can affect the body's needs and responses. Write that down. There's a lot to this, and it's not to be taken lightly. When your run lasts less than 4 hours, your main focus will need to be staving off dehydration. But when it comes to marathon running, even more of a concern is avoiding overhydrating, known as hyponatremia. Yeah, that's a real thing, and it's more dangerous than dehydration. Yes, people die from it. In the past, the advice from many organizations and coaches was to drink before you're thirsty or drink ahead of thirst. But based on the latest and best research, the IMMDA, which stands for the International Marathon Medical Directors Association, now advises to drink to thirst. The reason drink before you're thirsty can be a problem is that too much water can cause hyponatremia, which is when the sodium level in the blood becomes too diluted. Consider that over a dozen people have died from hyponatremia, all women, by the way, and all documented in the appendix of a book I'll introduce in a few minutes. Why all women? Well, I don't think anybody knows for sure, but we can conjecture that it's because women tend to be smaller, and therefore it's a more tenuous line that's easier to accidentally cross between proper or optimal hydration and too much. Or maybe it's a gender thing in women as a group, if they believe something will help them perform better or more diligent about doing it. I had never heard of hyponatremia until I read a flyer about 6 years ago that was included in a marathon race bag on the night before my first marathon. It was one of those trifold informational flyers. One whole side of it was about the danger of dehydration, how to recognize it, and how to prevent it. Then I turned it over. The other whole side was about overhydration, hyponatremia, how to recognize it, and how to prevent it. The problem boils down to sodium levels. If you drink too much water, the sodium level in your blood will be diluted. In 2014, a high school football player in Georgia died from overhydration. He had consumed gallons of water during the day in the mistaken belief that it would help with his muscle cramps that he'd been suffering from. And as I mentioned, a dozen marathon and ultramarathon runners have died from overhydration over the years. Perhaps one reason people overdrink is that water seems so innocuous. How could it be bad? Doesn't it just get peed back out? And while we're discussing pee, if you think that clear pee is a sign that you're properly hydrated, it's not. That's a myth. It actually means that you're overhydrated, or at least you're right on the edge. If you try to keep your pee clear, you're probably going overboard. That may mean an imbalance in your electrolytes. Depending on which expert you ask, and I'm talking about experts in kidney function, not necessarily expert runners, they may say it should be the color of lemonade or a pale yellow. Don't worry unless it gets darker. But also remember that lots of different things can affect the color of your pee or your urine. It's just not that simple. The key is to maintain the correct balance of sodium in your blood. And if we drink too much, that balance is dangerously disrupted, a serious situation. I'd like to explain the process here in greater detail, but I'm neither a doctor nor a chemist, and I never even studied physiology in school. So rather than risking screwing up the explanation, I'll just send you to the sources. Here's the thing. As I said before, proper hydration is critical. You don't want to be overhydrated, but you also don't want to be underhydrated. You want your body to be optimally hydrated, hence the Goldilocks principle. You want it to be just right. The trouble is that everyone's body is different. People sweat at different rates, and your body does not work exactly like anyone else's. Even if you do sweat or were to sweat at exactly the same rate as someone else, in exactly the same conditions as someone else would, You may lose different quantities of different minerals than that other person. You certainly would. Also, your rate of what's called gastric emptying would be different as well, and that affects how much fluid you can actually utilize. Also, the nutrition you've consumed and your pre-race hydration level is likely to be different. Every coach and every runner wishes there was a simple guideline that would work all the time for everyone, a formula, a schedule, but it's just not that easy. You want to be safely, optimally hydrated, but you cannot necessarily replace all the fluids you lose because your body can only process a certain amount of fluid in a given time period, whether it is water or a sports drink, no matter how much you sweat.
To learn more about that, look up gastric emptying. What should you do? Strive to replace what you lose, but realize if you study the articles, I link to in the show notes, you'll discover that some people are saying it's perfectly okay to be dehydrated at the end of a race. In fact, they point out that most elite runners do finish all races dehydrated. And they say it's safer to be a little dehydrated than even a little overhydrated. The articles I link to will provide you with guidelines and percentages of weight loss, but you will see, if you read several of them, that there's a disagreement, even among all these experts, as regards recommendation and the views of the different people. Some will say replace what you lose, while others will say if you finish at the same weight you started with, you're overhydrated. And if you gain weight, which sometimes is the case, well, you're definitely overhydrated. My goal here was just to make you aware and to entice you to take a good hard look at your hydration practices and provide you with links to experts so you can read and you can become knowledgeable yourself. The Goldilocks principle says something must fall within margins and avoid extremes. You don't want to drink too much and you don't want to drink too little. One reason, at least for a long time, that dehydration got more attention was that more people, or most people, were not out there for over 4 hours. But as more and more people enter marathons, and as the average time slows, which it has over the last several years, there are many people out there for 5 or 6 or more hours. For those people, and that may be you, knowing about both dehydration and especially hyponatremia is critical. Consider this too, to guard against hydration issues or any other dangerous situations. You should be very sure you're in excellent health, or you should not even think about doing a marathon or anything that would take longer than that. Why? Because if you have any other medical issues, those issues could complicate your hydration situation. For example, prescription drugs you take could have a major effect. This is one reason to be sure you have a physical yearly and get your physician's approval before committing to any distance, particularly a marathon. Think about this scenario. You're running a marathon and you start feeling really lousy. You have some of the symptoms of dehydration, but unfortunately, most of those symptoms are also the symptoms of overhydration. Let's say you assume you're dehydrated, so you decide you better start drinking more. As the hours pass, you only feel worse. You finish the race, but you throw up a couple of times. You feel super tired and you have a headache. All symptoms of both dehydration and overhydration. After the race, you tell your friends, "I think I was just dehydrated. And when I realized it, by that time, it was just too late to fix. I tried, but I just couldn't catch up. So I never did feel any better." I hear this a lot, and I'm sure sometimes it's exactly accurate, but I'm sure sometimes it's just the opposite, and the problem rather than dehydration is overhydration, but perhaps not so much that it's dangerous. It's really not safe to assume anything, and you can't just say, "Well, just to be sure I get enough hydration, I'll just drink as much as possible." It's not that easy because you definitely could drink too much. And even if you didn't drink enough to get yourself into a dangerous health situation, you still might overhydrate enough to hinder your performance. You must be both informed and conscientious because, in fact, too much hydration is more dangerous than too little. Evaluate your own body's needs when running various longer distances and in various conditions. For example, high versus low humidity and high versus low temperature. Some people goof by hydrating exactly the same in one marathon as they did in a prior marathon when they had a great race performance. But what if the other marathon was in weather that was hot, but this time the temperatures are cool? That will make a huge difference in your sweat rate, resulting in a massive difference in your performance and safety, unless you modify your hydration to what's appropriate for the new situation, the new conditions. Don't just go by some formula either, because what goes for one may be far off from what works for you. Also, evaluate your performance when consuming different nutrition. It all works together, and all your training runs are practices to find out what your body needs. This is one reason it's so important to keep a journal. Besides evaluating your performance, arm yourself with knowledge. Do your research. I refer you to the book, We're Waterlogged, The Serious Problem of Overhydration in Endurance Sports by Dr. Tim Noakes. That's N-O-A-K-E-S, copyright 2012. Noakes is an exercise scientist, veteran of more than 70 marathons and ultramarathons, and perhaps the best known researcher in this field. I'll read you the back of his book. On the back cover, it says, quote, "Drink as much as you can, even before you feel thirsty," close quotes. That's been the mantra to athletes and coaches for the past three decades, and bottled water and sports drinks have flourished into billion-dollar industries in the same short time. The problem is that an overhydrated athlete is at a performance disadvantage and at risk for exercise-associated hyponatremia, a potentially fatal condition. Dr. Tim Noakes takes you inside the science of athlete hydration for a fascinating look at the human body's need for water and how it uses the liquids it ingests. He also chronicles the shaky research that reported findings contrary to results in nearly all Noakes's extensive and since-confirmed studies. That's the end of the back flap. As a result of his research, the International Marathon Medical Directors Association changed their guide from drink before thirsty to drink to thirst. And it goes on. You can purchase that hefty 428-page tome on Amazon. While you likely are not itching to read all 428 pages of his book, which includes lots of analysis of research, you might want to go through and read the chapter summaries. And be sure to read the two-page foreword by Ambie Burfoot, winner of the 1968 Boston Marathon and editor of Runner's World for many years. If you read no other part of this book, at least read the foreword. That alone is compelling. The reference section is 20 pages long. Plus, Noakes includes an Appendix B in Appendix B, a table of over 1,500 cases of exercise-associated hypernatremia and exercise-associated hypernatremic encephalopathy, divided up per event, and he lists the treatment, the outcome, weight gain or loss, and cites the reference source. However, some organizations are still advising to drink ahead of thirst. The American College of Sports Medicine, for example. I'll link to their guidelines in the show notes. The USATF, United States Track and Field Association, says, and I'm reading from a document on their website, quote, "For athletes in general, and especially for those completing a marathon in more than 4 hours, USATF recommends consuming 100% of the fluids lost due to sweat while racing. This marks a significant change from the understanding most runners have that they should be drinking as much as possible and following the guideline to stay ahead of thirst, which has been held as the standard recommendation for many years." Close quotes. Evaluate your hydration on every single long run and learn from each experience. Consider that the common fear of dehydration is likely largely the result of advertisements from companies trying to sell you fluid replacement drinks. In Noakes' book, he refers to all the research from the GSSI, Gatorade Sports Science Institute, that caused the lopsided preoccupation with dehydration. Much of the, and this is in air quotes, respected research was done by GSSI. Noakes becomes an investigative reporter, explaining the effects of GSSI's reports. That part of the book is especially fascinating. So what should your hydration plan be? Noakes says to drink when you're thirsty. How is that for an easy guideline? Listen when your body speaks to you. When you do this, you're actually customizing your fluid intake to your body's needs. My only concern with that is that some people, and this would be me, tend to sometimes get sidetracked. In fact, I can get distracted better than anybody I know. I've been chatting it up with friends on a run, on a long run, and suddenly realized I've gone too far without drinking. and I suddenly become extremely overwhelmingly thirsty. I don't think the answer is to drink on a schedule, but rather to remind yourself, in this case, myself, to check, to evaluate. I have my watch set so that it beeps at every mile. This is useful for me because I use that to remind me to simply pay attention for a moment, to check whether or not I feel thirsty. That's it. Usually I don't, but that way I won't go too many miles without drinking if I actually do feel thirsty. It's just the way I am. I love conversation so much that I can totally miss other things while I'm wrapped up with conversation with other people. What should you drink? That depends entirely on what you consume. If you're getting nutrition from a solid food source, then you probably only need water. But if not, then you'll need to drink fluids that contain nutrition. That's a whole different topic, but I will mention this. If you choose a sports drink, please be careful to read the label. I'm always amazed to see people drinking sports drinks that contain chemical dyes such as yellow number 3, red number 2, or blue number 5, or that contain artificial sweeteners. Please read the label. An excellent article and a quick read is The Real and Simple Truth About Dehydration and Performance by Jeff Gaudette on the competitor.com website. I'll link to that in the show notes. If you are looking for more specific guidelines, and I know many of you are because that's the way runners are, check out that article or check out an article titled Running Doc's Complete Guide to Hydrating During Training and During Races by Dr. Lewis Maharam from the New York Daily News. Maharam was previously medical director for the New York City Marathon. And in that article, he also advises you on how to alter hydration for extra hot or extra cold days. That is very valuable. And one more thing to consider. When runners have a bad race, the first thing they want to blame it on is dehydration. I'm sure this is sometimes the case, but if you hydrated the same as you did during training, and if the conditions were about the same, and most importantly, if you were not feeling thirsty, then it makes more sense to look for an explanation elsewhere. Just remember, the safest runner is the one who stays informed of the advice from the leading experts, pays attention to his body, and diligently practices wise hydration. Another caution, when you research this topic, if you do research this topic, make sure to go to the real experts in the field. Many coaches and runners everywhere are still following decades-old advice. They're still carrying around water bottles every day. Based on what we know now, that advice was mistaken. And if you just don't have the inclination to pay that much attention to hydration, do not adopt the cavalier attitude, "I don't need to worry about it." On the contrary, in that case, you should just stick to much shorter races that last only 90 minutes or less when hydration isn't a big issue. If you run marathons, learning what to do for hydration is part of your training, a critical part. Training for marathons and other distance events requires great dedication and self-discipline, and attention to hydration is just as much a part of that as the rest of your training. I'll leave you with a quote from Amby Burfoot from a Runner's World article titled Dehydration and Hyponatremia. How common? How dangerous? It's an excellent article, and I'll link to it in the show notes. Burfoot says, quote, "There are three primary causes of death during a marathon. All begin with an H. They are, in order of incidence, heart attack, hyponatremia, heat stroke." Close quotes. That's a powerful statement. If you remember it, it might save your life. If you feel like you get valuable information from this podcast, I would really very much appreciate it if you would go into iTunes and give it a rating. I haven't mentioned that for a while, but I do hope you'll help me out with a review. And remember to visit TampaRunningRetreats.com. Our early registration prices end at the end of October. And as I record this, it's the first week in October. So go there now and get your deposit in to hold a spot. The St. Pete Beach Classic Retreat Weekend is January 13th through 16th, and the Beginner Runner Retreat Weekend is January 19th through 22nd. And now this. Have you ever been running along in a race and had this conversation with yourself? Why did I do this? I could be at home sleeping in. Did I actually pay for the privilege to do this? I did. Am I crazy? And that leads me to this quote. We do things not because they're easy, but because they are hard. Of course, that was JFK. That's it. Be careful not to drink too much, and be careful not to drink too little, but to drink the amount that is just right.